It's one thing to make a former Duke executive your top economic development aide or secretary of commerce, as Governor McCrory has done. But the seven members of the North Carolina Utilities Commission decide how much Duke Energy and other utilities can increase rates. Such requests are increasingly common and sizable as utilities replace their aging power plants. So would the governor really consider appointing a Duke executive to that commission? His spokesman Chris Walker says yes.
I don't think he wants to limit any type of individual based on any type of preconceived notion. He wants to make sure that we have the best possible people in all these positions to the best interests of North Carolina.
Walker says the governor wants a utilities commission that operates efficiently and effectively, and that any fear he'll stack things in Duke's favor is unfounded. Even so, the AARP and the watchdog group NC Warn say McCrory's Duke career is a conflict of interest, and they want him to recuse himself from the appointments. Here's Doug Dickerson of AARP.
Yeah, I don't think he can overcome that unless he sets up a process that involves a panel or something else that shows the people that this is a transparent process.
Governor's spokesman Chris Walker says McCrory will make the appointments voters elected him to make. That will include naming three new members to the North Carolina Utilities Commission before July. Commissioners traditionally have some background in utility regulation as a lawyer, a lawmaker, or advocate. But to have someone come directly from a North Carolina utility would be unusual. And the seven commissioners are on six-year terms that stagger, so every governor gets the chance to appoint a few. McCrory has three because one commissioner's term ended during the last year of Governor Perdue's administration, and it remained vacant. So what do these commissioners do?
People have a pretty substantial misunderstanding about what the role of the commission is, but essentially it's defined as a quasi-judicial body.
This is Sam Irvin IV. He was a utilities commissioner for about 10 years before resigning in 2008 to become a Court of Appeals judge. Now, the name Utilities Commission conjures, for many people, a county or town commission of elected leaders with wide-ranging power to make policies, change ordinances, and accept political donations. But really, you should think of the Utilities Commission like a panel of judges, says Irvin. They hear arguments, assess the facts, and rule according to their interpretation of state law.
I used to have that chapter pretty well committed to memory, but I don't now.
It's all spelled out in North Carolina's general statutes, which Irvin keeps in hardbound books lined up behind his desk. By state law, utilities commissioners are paid $124,000 a year. That's the same as a superior court judge. And they're held to the same code of conduct.
Yeah, here we go. GS-62-327, which is entitled Gifts to Members of the Commission, Commission Employees, or Public Staff, should be unlawful for any officer.
So basically, commissioners can't take gifts from or own stock in the utility companies they regulate. And like judges, they're prohibited from having side conversations called ex parte communication with anyone but their own staff about an ongoing case. Now, Duke got into some trouble in Indiana a few years ago when email exchanges came to light showing a cozy relationship between Duke executives and the chairman of the Indiana Utilities Commission. We used public records law to see if North Carolina Utilities Commission Chairman Ed Finley had had any private email or phone conversation with top Duke and Progress executives during the period the companies were merging. Our request turned up nothing. And that doesn't surprise John Runkle. He's an attorney for NC Warn, which criticizes many commission decisions.
I feel that the personal integrity of our commissioners is pretty good.
None of the current commissioners would agree to an interview for this story. Their attorney, Sam Watson, sent an email emphasizing the code of conduct to which commissioners are bound. But Runkle says ethics aren't the problem. It's influence. He thinks the whole process favors utility companies that donate generously to the politicians who nominate and confirm commissioners, as well as spend lots of money on lawyers who make their case to the commission itself.
You know, the Duke lawyer has got his, special chair and that kind of thing. So easily they have a much bigger presence than anybody else can afford.
Utilities Commission meetings are public, so Runkle and his nonprofit clients are welcome too. But they can't cross-examine witnesses or call their own during a hearing unless the commission gives them permission to participate in the case. That permission is not always granted. Usually what happens is the commission approves a settlement that Duke Energy works out with the public staff of the Utilities Commission, which is the state agency responsible for advocating on behalf of utilities customers. Runkle argues those settlements are often too easy on Duke and don't help the little guy enough.
The issues that are important to ratepayers, the residentials and small businesses and those, are just not being heard.
It's the job of the executive director of the public staff to push back against utilities and make sure customers get a good deal. But industrial giants like Nucor are customers. So are corporations like Walmart. And they have very different energy needs than you and me. So Robert Gruber is in a tight spot as the director of the public staff.
We attempt to balance the interests of all the consumers. But no matter what I do, I'm going to be criticized. There are going to be people that didn't like the outcome.
Most of the attorneys and former commissioners we spoke with say Gruber has done a good job finding that balance in the 30 years governors have been reappointing him to the post. But now Gruber is retiring, and many think his replacement is the most important utilities commission appointment Governor McCrory will make. His pick will be part of every negotiation about the cost of power in North Carolina for years to come. And anyone he chooses, in light of the governor's own lengthy career at Duke, will be guaranteed to attract heightened scrutiny. For WFAE News, I'm Julie Rose in Charlotte.